Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories. On KSL News Radio, Utah's top political story. Special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
And it's a developing one, and I'm calling it the signature scandal. Utah does have a path to get candidates onto a ballot by collecting signatures. And this particular scandal unfolded in the second congressional race last fall. 13 people, Dave, have now been charged criminally by the Utah Attorney General's office for a myriad of allegations. But if this proves to be true, this signature gathering path to the ballot to me is the Swiss cheese of fraudulent opportunities for people who want to illegally gather signatures.
It's difficult because trying to get on the ballot right now, you've got this dual path, the signatures that you just described, or you can go through a convention and woo the delegates. Well, that can be incredibly difficult, to go to convention, get all the delegates. So this is to add the second path, the signature gathering path, just allows more candidates to go out there, but they got to hustle up a lot of support and they've got to go and they've got to get a lot of signatures. What happens though is because the numbers are quite high, how many signatures you need, a lot of times this is a little cottage industry where they have to hire people. This isn't your mom and pop grassroots scenario where everybody, we're going out and gathering signatures. They hire professionals to gather these signatures. And these professionals, at least in this case, seem to have become absolutely fraudulent.
We've reported it here, KSL News Radio, KSL 5 Television has done reports on it, Daily Herald, Standard Examiner. And so this is a culmination of all of the many articles that I've read about this. But 13 people swept up in this, what I'm calling the signature gathering scandal. But these two men in particular really stood out to me in all of the allegations. Where the prosecutors allege that they told people who were going out and gathering signatures to just fraudulently, forge a couple of voter signatures, that they used a fake lease agreement without someone's permission to use their name as proof of residency here in Utah, that they faked text messages back and forth when they were questioned to make it seem like they were actually a Utah resident responding to the text messages. Taylor Morgan, KSL at Night host, you really championed on Capitol Hill as a lobbyist this path to the ballot being a signature gathering route. And I'm looking at these allegations where they are even accused of signing forms illegally. Signing forms and turning those packets in. So this to me just seems that this path to the ballot is just ripe for potential fraud.
Yeah, Debbie, I think this is a really important conversation. I'm so glad that we are talking about this this morning. I should note, perhaps to start the conversation, at least on my end, and by disclosing my role as executive director of Count My Vote.
Thank you.
The statewide organization who implemented the signature path to the ballot back in 2014. Just want to put that out there and be clear. I have a clear bias here, so I want to be transparent about that. I will say, though, that we've had this signature path to the ballot for 10 years. This year marks the 10th anniversary. We have seen a lot of positive outcomes of the signature path. Utah's had the second highest rate of voter participation increase in the country since we implemented the signature path to the ballot. Today, 90% of all races are decided in primary elections where all party voters can have a say. Before the signature path was added, 99% of all races were decided by a tiny group of party delegates at conventions. So the signature path is working. Utahns really like it, but it is not perfect. There are some serious issues, and these are issues that we have been working on for the last 10 years to improve and address. to be honest with you, Debbie, we have been fighting so hard just to preserve the signature path that we haven't yet been able to make these important fixes, some of which led directly to this situation that we're talking about today.
If you were able to, quote unquote, fix these, what are the top two things you would want to address that would maybe prevent some of these possible fraudulent claims?
Number one are the signature thresholds themselves. Now, in many races, the signature thresholds, the required number of signatures, works pretty well. At the state legislative level, it's 1,000 signatures of party voters for the House. In the Senate, it's 2,000 signatures of party voters for a Senate seat. Those thresholds seem pretty reasonable. Those seem to work pretty well. However, when it comes to statewide races, the statewide requirement is 28,000 signatures of party voters. Congressional races require 7,000 signatures of party voters. Those are thresholds that we would like to see come down significantly, somewhere between 1% to 3% of registered party voters. Seems to make sense. Now, the other, number two, Dave, this is what really led to this episode of illegal signature gathering. The limitation on allowing voters to sign more than one for more than one candidate in any race. Right now, the law limits voters to be only being able to nominate by signature one candidate in any given race. Well, what that does is that forces candidates to try to rush out to get the signatures and to try to get them turned in first, because whoever gets that signature verified by the election official first gets it. And so not only do we have a high number of signatures required, but we have a race to get them in first. And in the special election that we had to fill the second congressional district seat, we had a lot of candidates gathering signatures in a truncated timeline. That led to this episode of fraud.
We're talking live with KSL at Night host, also executive director of Count My Vote, Taylor Morgan, about the signature scandal. The attorney general's office has filed charges against a number of people, a baker's dozen, more than 12, 13 people facing charges in regards to this scandal in the second congressional district race, where they're alleging, among other things, that signatures of voters were falsified. They were forged. And I want to make it clear, we don't know exactly which candidate Taylor is, you know, was the recipient of these fraudulent signatures in the second congressional district, unless you know and you want to tell us.
Well, I think that I want to be careful. I don't think this has anything to do with any candidate that was running in that second district.
Yeah, and I want to make it clear, we don't have any specific connection or allegations pointing to one particular candidate. And it hasn't been, from what I've read, it has not been divulged yet.
And so Debbie, what we had here is we had a bit of a free-for-all in this special election. Again, we had a condensed timeline. We had a number of Republican candidates all having to go out and collect at least 7,000 signatures from registered Republicans. We also had a race to get those signatures in first, because whoever got their signatures in first had first dibs on any voters who happened to sign for more than one candidate in that race. So really what happened here is a small group of enterprising young people, college students, we're talking about some people between the ages of 20 and 23 here, saw an opportunity to jump in, and perhaps they had good intentions at first, but ultimately felt a lot of pressure and cut corners and broke the law in order to make a little money in what was a highly pressurized race to get these signatures in. Now, I will say that the good news here is that they were caught. You cannot get away with this. Voters' signatures are very carefully verified by election officials by hand in person. This is just not something that you can really get away with. That's why it really is very rare. We don't really have a lot of these incidents over the 10 years during which signature gathering has been legal and has been a path to the ballot. So the good news is that the process is working. The perpetrators were caught. Look, it's not a perfect process. We really need to improve it, but it is working very well, and Utah voters strongly support it.
Taylor Morgan, thank you for joining us, host of KSL at 9, but also, as you had disclosed, the executive director of Count My Vote.
And he hit on something that we're going to talk more about. You can't get away with it because the county clerks have a signature verification method that appears to work.
Yeah, and it's very similar and done by the same people that do our regular elections. So I think the fact that this has been caught makes me feel a little bit better about secure elections.
Well, I want to know more about this, how they verify signatures. So let's get Weber County Clerk Ricky Hatch on the line next.
Utah's top political story. Special coverage with Dave and DeGenevieve.
Yeah, we just hung up the phone with KSL at Night host Taylor Morgan, talking about the signature path to the ballot, which is now embroiled in a scandal. Of course, he's also executive director of Count My Vote, and for many years has lobbied on Utah's Capitol Hill for this second path to the ballot. But there is new allegations. 13 people, Dave, have been criminally charged in this scheme to fraud, you know, phony up signatures and also phony up, verification forms in order to get a candidate on the ballot. Now, Taylor wisely pointed out the good news is here. It's been busted wide open thanks to the attorney general stepping in and filing criminal charges. But I do worry about our ability behind the scenes to catch, forged signatures to get a candidate on the ballot.
I'm just thinking about my experience. We had signature gatherers come to our house. And we weren't there, and they were very persistent. Hey, what time is your husband going to be back? And they came later that day. So the signature gathering process can be a little clumsy. For example, when that signature gatherer came, he had a stack, Debbie, of candidates. And he said, do you want to sign on Brad Wilson, Trent Staggs, John Curtis? And there were like two or three others.
All for Senate.
Yeah.
This is a Senate race. Okay.
I think there was even a congressional race as well. There were a lot. Mm. And they asked which one I wanted to sign because you can only sign one. And I was overwhelmed. I'm like, well, I don't know who I want to support right now. I'm not ready because I know you can only sign one. That's something I knew. I don't know if everyone knows that. They probably, there's a lot of people that will just sign as many as they want. So it just showed me. And they handed it over. I filled it out. I took it to my wife. We filled it out together. And it was a little bit of a clumsy process. Now, what happens after that? What's the next step? I don't know. I don't know where those signatures go. Oh, I assume they just go to the county clerk.
Well, I think the case in point here is that the allegations are that some of these signatures were forged, or at least employees that were gathering signatures during training were told, hey, just go ahead and forge a couple of voter signatures here. This just sounds ripe for fraud. And so let's get Ricky Hatch, Weber County Clerk, live on the line. You've been doing this a lot of years. Make me feel better about this, that if somebody forged my signature on a petition to get somebody, on the primary ballot, Ricky, that you guys would catch it. How do you do that?
Well, good morning. Yeah, lots of signatures, and we seem to be getting more every year. So the good news is your county clerks are on top of it. We have been trained in signature comparison by signature forensic experts that we brought in from the FBI and others to conduct training. And actually, anybody who compares signatures in a clerk's office has to receive this type of training every year and must be certified. When we receive those packets back, we verify at least three pieces of information for each voter. And the signature is the required portion of that. So that signature has to match. But we also have to have a match on age or address obviously match the name, but we have to have those matches, and we compare those using the same tools that we use when we compare the signatures on the back of your envelope when you vote. So we have up to five records, five signature samples for every voter in the state.
And party as well, right? Because the Republican Party as a closed primary.
That's
a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, we also verify to make sure that they actually live in the jurisdiction that applies to that that signature packet.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And party as well, if that's the case, we verify that. And the system actually kicks it out if the voter doesn't belong to the correct party for that race or to the correct jurisdiction. The system actually flags that, and that it cannot be overridden by the clerk. So I couldn't go in and do some kind of favor for somebody if I think it would help them.
Ricky Hatch, Weber County Clerk, joining us live. We're talking about a signature gathering scandal in the 2nd Congressional District. It's been unfolding over the last few days while criminal charges are being filed by the Attorney General's office. So far, 13 people criminally charged. And in some of the allegations, there are many allegations here, but the one that stood out to me the most is that the allegations are that people were being trained to forge signatures or being told to forge signatures. So what happens, Ricky, if you figure out the signature ain't jiving with what you have on file? Do you get to report? Do you get to call? Do you have a bat phone to the Attorney General's office?
Yes, we do. In fact, this exact thing happened in Weber County about 3-4 years ago. It was back in 2018. One of our signature verifiers who was totally on top of things, he's just noticed some interesting consistencies among signatures on different pages and ended up finding that. And we found 103 instances of forged signatures, and we were able to catch those guys, and they were charged with the felony of forgery. And So we work closely with the county attorneys and with the state elections office, as well as the state attorney general.
So, Ricky, give me an idea. I know my signature has changed over the years when I started voting at age 18 to 48. How do you take into account that?
That's where those five versions of the signature count. I had one voter who posted online that, look, my signature changed and they accepted it, even though it didn't match. And she showed the two signatures, and we went back and looked, and apparently she's not very good at not signing her name, because we found one that was about 12 years old that was a dead on match to her supposedly new fraudulent signature. So we look back, and we even can look at other writings that they may have on voter registration forms or things like that to look for those characteristics on which we've been trained to identify handwriting pattern analysis.
It's amazing, Ricky.
Sounds very FBI.
Yes, that's right.
Well, it does assure me, Ricky, that if someone's out there signing my name, they probably sign it wrong anyways, because nobody knows. Everybody, my Dujanovic's my maiden name, so good luck. My full name is not really posted anywhere, so they would be signing the wrong name. So thanks, Ricky. It makes me feel a lot better.
And they need to know your age, too. And now everybody knows Dave's age, so let the signatures flow.
Good luck. Good luck finding it, Ricky Hatch. Thank you so much for joining us, Weber County Clerk. It is good, and I think we do take this seriously. I think Taylor Morgan made some very, very good points. There's some problems with the way that we require signature gathering, and the fact that it is a rush, and it's like, hey, first one through the wall, that's who wins. That is a terrible way to go forward. We need to make some serious changes to the signature gathering path. I like it. I like the dual path, but there are some glaring problems with it that we need to address.
Yeah. And that one where, you know, maybe the one that you're most interested in, Dave, has to do with you can only sign one form.
That's a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because I could narrow it down to maybe my top three candidates. I shouldn't have to narrow it down to the one. Yet, we're not even in a primary yet.
On your front porch. Exactly. When they show up with stacks of papers.
It was a stack, Deb.
Yeah.
It was a stack.
We're going to have to continue to follow this story and see what changes are made. Straight ahead, we're learning more about Utah spending millions of dollars to address child sex abuse. And they're going to do it with an elementary school education program. Let's talk about that next.